This is UN in Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. Experts race to contain an outbreak of Ebola in a remote northern area of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And possible war crimes are being committed in Yei Town in South Sudan, a human rights expert warns. But first, conflict in Central Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC, has put an additional 400,000 children at risk of severe acute malnutrition, the UN warned on Wednesday. According to UNICEF, the UN Children's Fund, more than a third of health centers in central Kasai province have closed amid an escalation in violence between government troops and opposition militia that erupted last August. The priority is now to reach these children urgently and overcome major access problems. UNICEF's Patrick Rose explained to Daniel Johnson.
Well, we know that this is one of the most vulnerable areas in the Democratic Republic of Congo, that even before the violence in the Kasai region, that there was a baseline of access to services and a baseline of children who were suffering from severe acute malnutrition. What we see now as this kind of crisis intensified is that we have 400,000 children who are going to face severe acute malnutrition this year. And what we also know is that about one-third of the health centers have been either destroyed or looted, and an even greater number is no longer functional because staff are afraid to come to work, or there's not enough medication, or there's not enough supplies.
And you say that the nutrition situation is particularly concerning because farming is very difficult because of these ongoing clashes.
Yeah, we know that about 1.5 million children are affected by this violence. 600,000 children have been displaced. Now, you can, you know, do the math there. Those are families that are running for their lives because terrified of different sort of armed clashes between security forces and rebel groups. And oftentimes those rebel groups do involve children who've been associated into those groups. And so it's a particularly sort of complicated and quite vicious series of confrontations and rather unpredictable. Families are unwilling to kind of risk their lives going out to the field. They're unwilling to kind of really plant crops because they don't know how long they're going to be in that location. What we've seen over the last 6 months has been not just one displacement, but oftentimes two, three, four layers of displacement where a family will flee for their lives, set up in a community, in a host community, try to get onto their feet, but then there'll be a rumor of conflict coming closer, and so they flee again.
Yeah, and this repeated displacement is really what makes people much more vulnerable, we often hear. I wonder, given the security problems and the lack of access, your priority must be to reach them, but how?
This is a real concern, and certainly we're working closely with the government of the Democratic Republic of Congo and sort of UNICEF teams are on the ground. We have two field offices that are fully functional and are really scaling up their response. We already have effectively multiple crises going on in this particular region. What we don't want to see is an outbreak of cholera. We don't want to see an outbreak of any sort of waterborne diseases. So these interventions are possible. It's extremely challenging. And this is, again, one of those areas where we as the United Nations can only sort of applaud the courage and commitment of our colleagues who are literally going into these situations where it is overwhelming, it is a dangerous environment, but they're doing it because without this intervention, children are going to suffer.
Violations and abuses against civilians, specifically in Yei, may amount to war crimes or crimes against humanity. A new report released by the Human Rights Division of the UN mission in South Sudan, UNMISS, says the report documents the profound human suffering caused by the ongoing conflict and the exploitation of local and ethnic divisions for political ends. The conflict in Yei in particular highlights the startling level of impunity in South Sudan, which has fed successive cycles of violence across the country. Speaking to David Lucan, Eugene Nindorera, head of the Human Rights Division of UNMISS, said the culture of impunity was unacceptable.
So we were able to monitor a number of human rights violations and abuses committed by both sides of the conflict, not only SPLA, but also armed opposition group, IO, etc. So it's really important to highlight those abuses because it goes through killing of civilians, but there are also some arrests, illegal arrests. We have monitored also sexual exploitation and also CRSV, conflict-related sexual violence, and also looting and burning. There are so many houses that have been burned. So it's really important to highlight those events And you all know that even right now, the situation in Yei is still alarming, and it is really important to make sure that civilians can work alone. And secondly, make sure that those who have committed those atrocities, each whatever side they are, could be held accountable. This is really something, it is really important if you want to look for a genuine reconciliation.
What are the recommendations that have been made, and how do you think this is going to be implemented, or the situation is going to improve?
The first recommendation, since it's more about the insecurity and the fight that is occurring there, that lead even the majority of the population to flee, and now they are displaced in other places, or some of them are now refugees in Uganda, it's really important that the parties in conflict could really sit and come up with a ceasefire. That's really, really the most important recommendation, according to me. The second one is really about making sure that those who are committing these atrocities have to be held accountable. The issue of impunity, I think, is something that needs to be where everybody should really stand up and make sure that this impunity cannot continue.
When you talk about ceasefire and the parties, was there any specific mention of which group or which people that they should sit down?
Those who are fighting. So basically, we know that the government is, of course, part of those who are on the ground, but you have also the IU, and we have also to say very clearly that what they are doing, they are also involved in ambushes, they are involved in abduction, they are involved in rape cases, they are involved in killings. This is not acceptable. So any group that is involved has to be aware that they are going to be held accountable for what they are doing to their people, and that they should sit, all of them, to make sure that they can reach an agreement and stop the fighting.
A race has begun to quell an outbreak of Ebola in a remote northern area of the DRC on the border with the Central African Republic. The World Health Organization has announced 20 cases of Ebola have been reported, 2 have been confirmed by laboratory tests, and 3 people have died so far, the agency says. This is the 8th outbreak in the DRC since 1976. On April 22nd, a 39-year-old man checked into a clinic in Likati Health District in Bauele Province in the DRC with a high fever, nausea, and bloody diarrhea. He died on the way to the general hospital. His 2 closest contacts, a caretaker and the motorcycle rider who transported him, have since passed away. Nearly a month later, on May 9th, WHO noticed a cluster of unexplained illnesses and death, all with bleeding symptoms in the same area. WHO, the Congolese government, and the medical aid organization Alima immediately deployed a team to the field, and lab tests confirmed it was Ebola. On May 11th, the DRC Ministry of Health officially declared an outbreak of the virus. Dr. Peter Salama, the WHO Executive Director for Health and Emergency Programs, explains why.
It's important to note that Likati Health Zone is one of the most remote parts of the Democratic Republic of Congo. It is a full 1,400 kilometres from Kinshasa and 350 kilometres from the nearest major town, Kisangani. There are only 20 kilometres of paved roads in this area and virtually no functional telecommunications. It's also an area that has been subject to insecurity and displacement. The Lord's Resistance Army is believed to be active in the area, and there are displaced populations from the ongoing conflict in the Central African Republic.
With the help of the UN, the first search teams led by the DRC's Ministry of Health flew into Likati on May 17. Their immediate priority is to follow the 400-plus contacts of the suspected Ebola cases. Meanwhile, the first Ebola treatment center has been established in the Likati General Hospital. Protective gear has been dispatched to health workers, and a mobile lab is being constructed and then deployed to the area. Immediate repairs to airstrips and telecommunications are also being carried out. The first 6 months of the operation will cost $10 million. WHO has determined overall that the risk assessment for this event is high at the national level, medium at the regional level, and low at the global level. An experimental vaccine for Ebola is being tested in Guinea, where the first outbreak of Ebola in West Africa was reported. And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN in Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.